Grandfather Tells the Children the Story of the Great Flood by Frances Kerr Young. It was a warm Canadian summer day near the head of the lake where Grandfather was sitting in his rocking chair, half dozing in the late morning sun. The happy cries of children made him sit up straight. The hubbub was being caused by Ashley Ann and April, his two granddaughters. They scampered up the four steps onto the porch to kiss and hug him. "Hello, Papa," chorused the two girls. "And who's my favourite grand wins the day?" asked Papa, his accent just as thick as the day he had sailed from the Broomielaw some 40 years earlier. "I'm fine, Papa," answered Ashley Ann, trying to imitate her grandfather's burr. "Ye cheeky wee imp ye," smiled Grandfather with a mock scolding. "Where were ye the day?" "We were at church with Daddy," piped up 5-year-old April, pointing to her father as he strolled up the garden path. "Oh, you were at the kirk, were you? So that's why you're all dressed up in they bonny frocks. Tell me, who did you learn the day?" asked Papa. Ashley Ann, being taller because she was 2 years older than her sister, looked down into April's sky-blue eyes. Both girls bowed their head in silence. "They both fell asleep in church," Daddy said. "Oh, so that's why you're ashamed," said Grandfather. He gazed up to ask, "It must have been a guy boring sermon. What was it about, Graham?" "Noah," replied his son. "Oh, hi, Noah," smiled Grandfather. "Ye would have thought the minister would have made yon tale exciting enough to keep the bairns wakened." "Papa, can you tell us the story of Noah?" asked Ashley Ann. "Och, I suppose I could," replied Grandfather, rubbing his chin, his mind trying to recollect hazy Sunday school memories from a distant boyhood. Although Grandfather was not a regular churchgoer, he did have an excellent memory for historical dates. "Just sit you down there and I'll tell you a story as I remember it." "Then I'll help Gran prepare the Sunday dinner," said Daddy, and entered the house. "Now, let's see. Who did it begin?" mused Grandfather, peering down with pride at his grandchildren. Ashley Ann, with cobalt blue-grey eyes and spun-gold hair, and April with fiery curls. Both were in pink dresses and bows, alike yet not alike. "Och, I knew. A long, long time ago, back afore clocks were invented, somewhere out in the Middle East, near Eden, or was it Aden, there was a time when all the folk were bad. Say bad that they were wicked, and the wicked things they did was terrible. Say terrible that I can't tell you what they did, but it was more than picking your nose and dicking it on your breeks. No. The Lord God Almighty wasn't too happy about they folk, so he disguised himself as a regular man and walked through the towns and cities looking for somebody that was still good. He knew that when any person saw him, he would be recognised. Months went by, and still nobody showed any interest in the Lord. He was strolling through a forest of gopher trees one day, thinking about his problem. Should he zap the earth and start that over again, or should he just get rid of the bad folk? Suddenly, he found this old guy kneeling at his feet. "Noah," he says, "you're kneeling down afore me." The man ignored him and said, "I'm no kneeling down for anybody. I'm looking for my glasses. Oh, here they are." He put on his spectacles and squinted up in amazement. "Oh dear, it's the Lord. I'm awfu' sorry, Lord." "It's a' richt, Noah," the Lord assured him. "Dinna fash yoursel', man. Get ye up on your feet. Tell me, who's the family?" "Och, just dean fine, Lord. I canna complain. I've mair grand wins than I can coont. Ye've been awfu' good to me over the years." He reached out and caught a granddaughter on the run. "Here, Jessie, run out of the house and tell your grand to put the kettle on. Tell her himself is here for a visit and to put out the waddenchina." As he let the wee lass gang awa, he said, "You'll be staying for a cup of tea, Lord." At that very minute, their Lord had found the solution to his problem. He put his arm around Noah's shoulder and asked him, "Noah, who do you fancy a cruise?" A wee while later, after the Lord and Noah had a cup of tea and a scone, the old man, he was almost 600 years old, you ken, spark up and said, "You ken, Lord, I quite fancy a cruise, but I dinna hae any money." "Och, man, dinna fash yoursel about that," came his reply. "It'll be a working holiday for ye and the missus. You can take your kids and their spouses, aye, and your grand wee stay." "Okay, I'll get the women to start packing and the lads round to roon up the camels," said Noah. "We'll start out for the seaside first thing the morrow." "Nah, nah," protested the Lord. "I want you to build an ark right here." Now, Noah was nae a man to argue with the Lord, although he did find out that he didn't ken how to build an ark. "That's all right, Noah," says the Lord. "I'll give you a blueprint. I've got a wee bit of experience on design work." He added then tell them to chop down enough gopher wood trees to build an ark 300 cubits long, 50 cubits broad, and 30 cubits high. "What's a cubit, Grandpapa?" asked Ashley Ann.
The distance from here to there," replied Grandfather, drawing a finger from his elbow along his forearm to his fingertips. He continued his story. "It took all the men a while to dig the ark, and all this while the women collected puffed wheat and other cereals, along with fruit to make jam for jelly pieces. They made lots of biscuits and pies and things for the journey. As the ark began to tack sharp, folk would come from nearby toon and lock at them. 'What's this?' they would shout and pint. 'Kilkeag dry docks.' But Noah and his family just ignored them. They would be laughing on the other side of their faces afore long. Finally, the big day came and the ark was finished. Noah's second oldest lad was just hammering in the last nail when the Almighty appeared. He walked round the craft, strolled up the ramp on the side, and scrimmed up the three decks to have a look at the skylight on the top deck. There was a strong smell of tar because the hail vessel had been coated inside and out with pitch, as per the Lord's instructions. 'You and your lads have done a rare job, Noah,' said the Lord. 'Now I'd like you to gather up all the animals on this list and put them in the stalls provided in the ark. You'll hate to collect yin male and yin female of ilk kind, except for the clean animals, sheep, kye, chickens and the like. You'll need 14 of each, 7 male and 7 female. Oh aye, and the pigs will have to be kosher. And another thing afore I forget, here a couple of your lads bag up all the gopher wood sawdust and shavings. It'll come in handy for bedding down the beasts on the trip. And see you've been storing grub for yourselves on the voyage, do the same for the animals. I'll be back about the middle of February to see how you're getting on.' And sure enough, on the 17th of February, in the year 2348 BC, the Lord showed up to see if Noah was ready. 'Weel then, Noah, are you set for a sail down the water?' asked the Almighty. 'Aye, just about, Lord,' replied Noah. 'There's just a few odds and ends to tidy up.' A week later, Noah, his family and other animals was packed up ship-shape and ready for the voyage. He scratched his beard and stared off into the distance. Big black clouds were scudding in for the Cairngorms. 'It looks like we're in for a sure rain,' he forecast. I'm glad I didn't come for Fife.' 'Aye,' the Lord said in agreement, 'there's going to be a puckle of rain right in here. Noah, you better nip up the gangway the new, and I'll snib the door for you. Bon voyage.' The big door on the side of the ark was slammed shut just as the first giant raindrops come splattering down when the Almighty left in a great bolt of lightning. Sometime later, Noah could hear somebody battling on the outside of the ark, so he got out his umbrella and went up on deck. He looked down to see some folks standing waist deep in rainwater and hammering on the keel. 'Here he is,' he shouted. 'Stop that banging on this boat. You might do some damage.' 'Can you take us on board?' a man shouted up to Noah. 'Sure,' replied Noah. 'Do you hear a ticket?' The man shook his head. 'Well, you canna get on board without a ticket,' Noah yelled through the peals of thunder. "Who do you get a ticket?" the man hailed back.
"Just ask the Lord, he'll gie ye in."
"Ach, we dinna speak to the Lord," answered the man. "We hinna nae time for him."
"Then ye dinna hear prayer," scoffed Noah, and he went back doon a blow for a bowl of hot porridge.
The rain kept teeming down, and it wasna long until the ark began to float awa'.
"What happened to the people that didn't get on the ark, Papa?" asked Ashley Ann.
Hedge grandfather. "They just went for a doop doon the Clyde."
"Anyway, on with the story," he continued.
"Well, the rain was to pelt down for 40 days and nichts. The wind was howling all the time. Lightning could be seen flashing past the sky like windy, and thunder boomed like cannon fire. The ark bobbed on giant waves, up and down, just like a cork. But the ark didna leak. About a fortnight after they'd floated awa', a' the yows birthed 12 lammies each. That worked out to, grandfather counted on his fingers.
14, Papa," laughed Ashley Ann, who had learned her 2x table at school.
"That's right," agreed grandfather. "Ma, you're a clever wee lassie. You'll hae to show April here who to count when she's older."
So on with the story. A' the wee boys and lassies weren't as feet ony mair, because they had wee lammies to cuddle and play wi'. On the 28th of March, the rain finally stopped, but the waves were still half a big. Now there was nae plug hole to drain a' yon water awa', so the sun heated it up and made it into big, white, fluffy clouds. But the air was half a foggy while this was happening, just like a Glasgow steamy. They drifted for another 40 days until it cleared, and by the 17th of July, the ark came to rest on a mountain. Since it was the middle of summer, all the sheep were pecking for the heat, and Noah had them all sheared. The fleeces were made into winter jackets, what were named after the mountain the ark rested on, Mount Anorak. By the 1st of October, other mountains could be seen, and 40 days later, Noah decided to let go a craw. Or was it a raven? Well, whatever. It flew for a couple of miles and suddenly started shaking its head, but kept fleeing on until the waters receded. To this very day, a' the craws, fae Ponfee, flee backwards to keep the stour out of the rain. Then Noah sent out a cushy doo. The doo couldna find a place to land, so it flew back to its dookie in the ark. A week later, on the morning of November the 17th, Noah sent the cushy doo awa' again, and it came back that nicht with an olive leaf in its beak. Noah kent that the water was gone down for sheer. Another week went by, and he set the doo free again, but this time it didna come back. On their day, Noah took the waterproof tarp off the upper deck. There was still a lot of water left, so they had another 6 or 7 weeks to wait. The big day came on the 27th of February, 2347 BC. The earth was dry and the sun was shining when Noah and his family donnered out of the ark. Stepping very carefully ahint the kai and a' the animals they herded in front of them, and headed on down the mountain to live happily ever after. Well, at least until Exodus.
"Supper's ready," Gran shouted, tapping on the window. Grandfather arose from his rocking chair and toddled towards the door, followed by a barrage of questions from the two children.